Republicans in the state legislature are studying the possibility of merging the Wisconsin Technical College system with the UW colleges, Wisconsin's two-year campuses. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August 13th. What do you make of this idea? We will talk with a guest education professor about what impact such a change might have on educational access and the quality of education in Wisconsin, and we'll welcome your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michael Apple. He is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Educational Policy Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So the committee of Republicans met privately yesterday to talk about this idea to team up, as they put it, the Wisconsin Technical College System and the University of Wisconsin colleges, the two-year campuses. They thought that this could cut costs, find efficiencies, and eliminate redundancies. Just your first blush reaction to this idea.
Well, by and large, I don't support such a change, but let me say just a couple of things about this. First, I grew up quite poor myself, and I have a little sympathy with the idea that we might ease the transition from technical colleges to universities for some students. So I don't think that the idea, if taken seriously, is totally wrong. I know that I spent many years as a printer. I come from a printing family. And because of that, I had a vocational orientation and found myself and was able to transition into a university. However, I think that we have to see this in its larger context. It's a context in which there's been massive defunding of the university, a great and organized attack on higher education. And I think that it can lead to the vocationalization of the university. That's what's happened in other nations as well. There's a whole array of issues that I'd want to raise, but by and large, I think it's a bad idea given the current context.
According to the Capital Times, UW-Madison faculty are urging Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to give them a seat at the table. They want these talks opened up. This is from the group called PROFS, a faculty advocacy organization. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And we want to remember as well, there's a good deal of mistrust that's circulated around the state right now, and certainly among faculty, staff, and almost all of the workers, including building maintenance workers and others, of the legislature right now. We want to remember that the governor and the legislature did try to change the fundamental goal of the university to workforce development, not for the larger issue of the search for truth, as the great slogan is at the university. And while this claim was denied, it's clear from documents that that this probably was true. So I worry that this is part of a much larger project, and it's a part of a project that has been done often in secret. So discussions go forward. Things are run up the flagpole, so to speak. We're just considering it. And then a month or two later, it turns out that it becomes passed. And unless faculty and all people who are deeply concerned about the university and its history and its future are deeply involved, I think that this is a very dangerous idea in terms of a vision of democracy. If you're going to radically change institutions, and not just the university, but the technical colleges, which have been profoundly important, I think, for mobility and for the creation of an educated citizenry, I think if you're going to change that, you better have more voices than just the secret meetings, informal as they may be, within the Republican caucus of the legislature.
Let's talk just briefly about these two systems, two institutions. What are the differences between the two-year colleges for the University of Wisconsin and the technical schools?
Well, the technical schools, by and large, deal with adults, and they deal as well with things such as relatively short-term economic skills, and I don't mean to demonize those at all. They are, as a former printer, I have a great deal of respect for the skill level of welders and all kinds of people who keep this society going. I want to show that respect as often as I possibly can. It's a respect that I would demand when I was a printer. But by and large, that is the task of the technical colleges is less academic and more about particular kinds of work skills. So there are academic courses that are taught, and there are ways right now, quite profoundly important ones, in which students from the technical colleges can transition into the two-year campuses. And I think we want to keep those avenues alive. But there are very different goals. The goals of the two-year colleges include things such as a transition to university, a more academic orientation. And with both of them, though, they share, I would hope, this understanding that education is not only about jobs. And I think we reduce the importance of education if it's only seen about short-term economic growth. Both should be concerned about the creation of critically democratic citizens. So there are some similarities, but the orientations are very, very different.
Well, UW College's and Extension Chancellor, Kathy Sandeen, who is, I should state for full disclosure, my ultimate boss, as I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, she mentioned the possibility of this merger in an interview last week with Wisconsin Eye. And on Wisconsin Eye, she said, many students looking to transfer to a four-year university and earn a bachelor's degree first attend UW colleges, while those seeking vocational education often go to technical colleges. This model, she said, is different from that used in most other states where those functions are all done at community colleges. I do think that those two separate defined missions are better for all of our students. You would agree with that?
By and large, and, you know, there's what we might look at as historically the German model, which is you put head, heart, and hand together. Now, I have some sympathy with what might be called a polytechnic education. That is that we shouldn't use education just to stratify a workforce. There's people who work with their heads, and then there's people who work with their hands. That's probably a bad idea. What we want is people who can do just about everything. But again, let me return to my first point. Let's put this in its context. When a particular group of people, often economically very powerful people, say that education is simply about workforce development, simply about short-term economic gain, and the way you measure the benefit of an education is simply about did it provide jobs? And jobs are important, to say the least. Anything else that costs a little more money, that can't be measured easily by one simple measure, is seen as less important. And my great fear, and I think it's warranted, is that that's what this is about as well. So again, the transition issue is a very important one. I would support moves to ease that transition. But a group of people that say that education is only about short-term economic benefits, when, as we're seeing, many, many large corporations are demanding much more creativity from their workers, where large corporations are shedding jobs like crazy, so that even in this state, if you do have the skills, there's no guarantee, as Kraft has just shown with its merger in Madison, that there will be large job losses. So education has to be more than that, and it should give people the ability to think about what's happening to my jobs, what's going on here, and how do I think about this as a citizen, not simply as someone who has a temporary job.
Yeah, we have just a minute before news break, and then we have callers who want to join in as well.
Sure.
But could there be efficiencies? Could there be that the two systems could share resources or, you know, cut costs in some way without losing both of their missions?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that almost any institution, public and private, needs to think about efficiencies. Things are expensive, people are hurting, and it's hard to support the kinds of things that a government or other institutions are called upon to do. So I'm not opposed to finding cost savings at all. But I would prefer that we look at this in a broader way. So yes to that. But if that's the only value you've got, it seems to me you've got a pretty limited understanding of the role of the public, and certainly of the role of the university and the role of the technical colleges themselves.
We are talking with Michael Apple. He is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Educational Policy Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking with him about this idea to possibly merge the UW colleges, the two-year colleges in Wisconsin, with the Wisconsin Technical College system. Does this make sense to you? First, we'll check the latest news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a UW-Madison educational policy studies professor about an idea to merge the Wisconsin Technical College system with the UW two-year colleges. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions about this idea. A group of Republican legislators met yesterday to discuss that possibility, the thought being there could be cost savings here. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Representative David Murphy, who is the chair of the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, reportedly is the one who came up with this idea, and he says it's to look for efficiencies in both or for both institutions. He also, though, in an interview said, this is just to look at the possibility. There's not going to be, you know, it's not going to happen if it's not going to save money, and that they're not going to rush into anything. Does that give you any confidence, Professor Apple?
Well, I don't want to dismiss any legislator's ideas as simply being unethical or they have hidden agendas. I think in this case, it may be that there are agendas that are partly hidden and partly public by the majority in the legislature. But I wouldn't want to cast aspersions on this individual legislator or most of them. I think that they're trying very hard to deal with a very difficult situation. But my worry is we have now a very, very long and involved history of things going on where you say something in public, we're just studying it. There's very, very little discussion in the public at all. There's almost no discussion in the media until the crisis hits. And my worry is, given this history, that this we're just studying it, then leads to the kind of thing where the legislature passes it, and it goes to the governor's desk. If the governor has said that, we're just considering this, or I will not do this on my watch, and then before we know it, something is signed. And that raises much more complicated, but I think even more important questions about the role of democratic deliberation in this state. These are things, you know, the university and technical colleges have played very, very important roles historically, both of them, in this state. And there is a history right now of things being done quite rapidly once momentum starts, and then being done behind closed doors. Let me give an example of this, also about education. And that's legislation that was passed changing teaching licensures so that, by and large, anyone with a college degree can teach if a school district wants her or him. And for primary schools, the proposal was that anyone even with a high school degree could become a teacher. There is no evidence whatsoever to support this, and there's a lot of evidence to say this is a dangerous move, but it got passed. Then it had to be, it came close to being passed, and then there was a good deal of attention paid to it about the dangers of this and what the precedent would be, and the majority in the legislature had to back off. Now, there will be a teacher shortage. We do have to think carefully about this, but it does require a lot of study. And again, my worry is this is going forward. We say we're going to study it, but I do not have a lot of confidence that that will stem the tide of these kinds of things. So I think I have a good deal of worry that that's not what's going to happen, that the study will be relatively rushed. And as it gets run up the flagpole tends to stand pretty high.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Michael Apple, who is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Educational Policy Studies at UW-Madison, talking about this idea to merge, possibly, the Wisconsin Technical College system with UW colleges. What do you think? What questions do you have? By any chance, are you a student at a UW college or one of the technical colleges? What do you think of the possibility of merging these systems? Or do you think they're separate missions and they should stay separate? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Troy in Muskego is with us. Hi, Troy.
Hello, good morning. I want to say that I think that people need to realize this has got nothing to do with saving money. What this is actually about, there's a lot of jobs out there right now that aren't paying too good in manufacturing, and they're having a hard time filling those jobs. So what they're trying to do now is trying to get paid more. Actually, you had a guest on your a Republican representative on your show 2 weeks ago that suggested that you encourage your kids to go into manufacturing because they need to fill those manufacturing positions. And everybody knows that those manufacturing jobs are not paying that good, and the insurance rates are really high. And this is about, that's why our governor only supports funding for technical colleges, but he didn't want to go with Obama's plan for getting money for making higher education affordable for students. And that's simply because they're trying to herd and funnel people into these low-paying manufacturing jobs that they're having a hard time filling. And that's what this agenda is really about.
A reaction to that, Professor Apple?
Well, this is, I think that Troy has a good deal of insight in what he's saying. And then when I say we have to put this in its larger context, this is exactly the context or part of the context that I want us to pay attention to. What is this part of? So it's part of this issue of defunding public education, seeing education as simply about low-paid, by and large low-paid, work skills, and cutting off the other functions of education, about being critical, about being thoughtful, etc. It's about, education is about jobs, period. And the way you value it is, you value it simply by short-term economic costs. So I think that if more people understood what Troy is saying, I think the debate would be much better. Now, the effects of this on what knowledge is counted as really, really important will be, I think, very, very powerful. So in an increasingly multicultural society where diversity is crucial, where things are highly politicized around whose voices are heard, around what kind of literature should we teach, what kinds of math do people need, this will have an effect, as I mentioned earlier, vocationalizing everything. So Troy's understanding of what's going on requires some knowledge of economics. It requires a good deal of knowledge about the history of Wisconsin and the history of what's going on right now, the history of unions, the history of many, many kinds of things. If the only knowledge you need is knowledge that gets you into these relatively increasingly low-paid occupations, then it's pretty hard for people to understand what's happening in the larger context. So I want, again, to thank Troy for his comments.
Yeah, thank you, Troy, for the call. But you have to spell it out for me a little bit more, Professor Apple. Troy was right. We had somebody on the air talking about raising the minimum wage a couple weeks ago. And this guest from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce was saying there's a shortage of welders, for example, and we need to have more. Instead of raising the minimum wage, we need to get students into these welding programs, and they can learn how to get a good-paying job or a better-paying job than a minimum wage job. Why would you have to merge the technical colleges with the UW systems to your campuses in order to get more students into welding programs?
You wouldn't. Now, the representative from from industry and the business sector is correct. There are jobs for welders. But if you look economically throughout the United States, but certainly in Wisconsin, the average wage has fallen. The kinds of jobs that are available are increasingly service jobs. They are low paid, and they do not usually have pensions. And so that's the kind of economy, unfortunately, that we have. So I don't want to dispute anyone who says there are good-paying jobs out there, but the vast majority of them don't require the kinds of skills that we're being talked about. Now, what that means is this is not a subterfuge. There is a larger agenda, and the agenda is complicated. One is to try and justify economic decisions that are being made about cutting funding for public schools and cutting funding for universities. Another part of the agenda is also to cover what is happening in terms of a legislature that doesn't seem to act as democratically as it might by having people who are affected by these kinds of things, these decisions, deeply involved in the discussions. And also, it's something that says the way you value anything is the short-term economic benefits. And there are different parts of the legislature who take different positions on this. So it's not just one thing, but when you put the package together, the package is a little worrisome. So I don't think you need to have a merger between these two systems to create welders. Welders deserve respect, but all workers deserve respect. All farmers deserve respect. And people who don't have jobs deserve respect as well. And again, I think if we look economically at this state, it's in trouble. And I don't think a merger is going to solve that trouble.
Keith in Beaver Dam is with us now. Hi, Keith.
Hi, thank you. First of all, Professor, I'd like to thank you for respecting other workers. I've been in manufacturing for almost 40 years, and I've been watching this closely, how different pillars of society have fallen under the guise of global competition. My concern, or my question to you, what is the underlying issue here? Because if I see a merger, all of a sudden I see different professors that don't have a full schedule, all of a sudden you're going to be teaching, well, not at this school anymore. You're going to be teaching at another school for the rest of the day, and we're going to move you around. People are on vacation. You know, you're not going to work days. You're going to work nights. There's a whole gamut. And then you got other issues of, well, we don't want, seniority or other things like that to play in. We're going to bring younger ideas in. And, I hope you guys stand up against this, because I don't see it as being very good.
Well, again, there's a good deal of insight in what the caller is saying. Let's look at what's happening at universities as an example. Let me just use a word that has a long history and political understanding of society, and that's what we're seeing is what might be called the proletarianization of a lot of people's work. So increasingly at universities are being staffed by part-time people. They don't have full loads. Their office is the bus on the way to the university or to the technical college. Salaries have fallen in real terms, and increasingly there's sort of massive cuts in the public sector. The same thing is happening in the manufacturing business sector. So people who used to have careers now have jobs, and those jobs can be manipulated. They can be sent elsewhere under the guise of cost-cutting. All of that is happening, and that means that education has a very, very important role to play, both in trying to find not just short-term skills, and as we know, those jobs, as we're seeing with the Kraft merger, as an example, highly skilled workers in the food industry are now being told, we don't need you anymore, even though their skill levels are pretty high. So what we need from an education is the ability to understand what's happening to you, an ability to be creative, an ability to gain new skills constantly, and an ability to see who's making the decisions and why is it affecting me. And that requires some sort of critical intellectual work. And if we merge technical and vocational education, we know from other nations such as, and this has been studied a good deal, we know from nations such as Australia and many, many others where this has gone on, what happens is that the critical functions, the sort of multicultural functions, of understanding what's happening in society get thrown out because they seem like they're not worth the money. And so the caller's understanding of what's going on gets minimized. So both of the last two callers were raising social questions. It's seen as, well, we can't afford this. This is unimportant or less important. In the meantime, what's happening is exactly what the callers are talking about. And if we don't prepare people to understand what's happening in their lives, then it's training. It's not education.
Yeah. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point made a Facebook post criticizing this idea of a merger. She said it would not encourage more people to get college degrees. But what's your take?
Well, this is, excuse me, I have a cold, so you'll forgive me if my voice begins to go. Well, I think that it is probably the case that that will happen in some sectors. But what's happened is what might be called credential inflation. So jobs that didn't used to require a high school diploma now require it. Jobs that required a high school diploma before now require a two-year degree from a community college or from one of the two-year campuses. Jobs that required a two-year degree before now require a college and university degree. So there has been this inflation. So there still will be immense amount of pressure by people to go to college. What happens at those universities and colleges will be that they will increasingly look like the technical schools. That is a bit worrisome, since right now we can't predict the kinds of knowledge and skills that are crucial for a society that is going through rapid demographic changes, rapid religious changes, rapid understandings of what counts as important knowledge. Take as an example the space program or a research in basic science and medicine. So the things that led to the internet, the things that led to profound changes in our lives happened because people were doing basic research. The cost of that was not minimal, yet the economic benefits of that are truly profound in terms of job creation, in terms of people's understanding of their own possibilities. And if we only talk about technical education, what we're doing is saying to people, well, think only about the economic benefits now, short term, when we can guarantee you pretty profoundly from what's going on in the paid labor market that that job you're training for may not be there in the next 10 years. So I think that the representative is partly correct about certain sectors, but the pressure will be on to go to university still, and we're defunding that. There's much less money for people to go. The cost of it is skyrocketing as we defund the university, and that means people have to pay for it. And no matter what the rhetorical stuff that the legislature and the governor are saying, that we will hold tuition costs down, well, what that means is that by and large, those same pressures are on reducing costs in the corporate sector, and people can't afford it in the first place. So I think it's a much more complicated issue, but I have sympathy with the legislator who says, hey, this is going to have a pretty important effect on people's lives who won't be able to afford going to college. They'll go to the technical colleges for jobs that in a while won't be there.
We are talking with Michael Apple. He is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Educational Policy Studies at UW-Madison. We're talking about Republicans in the state legislature studying the possibility of merging the Wisconsin Technical College system with UW colleges, the state's two-year campuses. A work group of five Assembly Republicans met yesterday to begin the discussions on this idea. We wonder what you think of the possibility of merging UW colleges with the Wisconsin Technical College system. Does this make sense to you or does this concern you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a guest education expert about this proposal, this idea to merge the University of Wisconsin system's 13 two-year colleges with the state's 16 technical college districts. What do you think of this idea? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. A work group of five Assembly Republicans headed by Terry Katsma of Oostburg met yesterday to discuss the possibility of merging the Wisconsin Technical College system with the UW colleges. This is a work group because State Representative David Murphy, who is chair of the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, thought we should look for efficiencies in both institutions, to look for cost savings and to reduce duplication. We are talking about this idea with Michael Apple, who is John Bascom, the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Educational Policy Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I wanted to get a quick comment from you first, Professor Apple. Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point also made a comment about this whole work group. She writes, "Now that Republican legislators have decimated our public universities, we should get a freshman legislator with no experience in higher education to conduct a study on how we can realign them. Said no one ever." So are you concerned with a study group of five Republicans headed by a freshman a legislator with no experience in higher education?
Well, yes and no. The no part is if we think of this as a pedagogic experience, that is, if you're going to immerse yourself in what the effects of these kinds of things are, and you treat it as, I'm going to educate myself about this, then I want to applaud you. If it's seen not as just, I'm going to find out as much as I possibly can and won't say anything till I know what I'm talking about in many ways, then that's a very, very different issue. The part that I think that gets missed here when people in the legislature are doing this is that we do have research on this. This has been tried in the United States, and it's been tried in other nations, as I mentioned, in Australia and elsewhere. It has actually not caused, not led to cost savings. It has not led to efficiencies. It's actually led to even more bureaucratic form when we have this mega bureaucracy, a bit like the university system was created, in which there have been criticisms, warranted or unwarranted, about that as being too bureaucratic. So if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And right now, it seems to me that one of the things that I'm a bit worried about is that this may create a larger bureaucratic form that is actually removed from the goals of each of the individual areas, you know, from the technical colleges and from the two-year colleges. But I see this also when they talk about funding issues and they talk about economic savings. Let's remember the agenda behind this. For many of the people in the legislature, private is necessarily good and anything public is necessarily bad. Now, there are different funding sources for each of these sets of institutions. 60% of the funding of the technical colleges comes from local property taxes. That is not the case for the university system. And one of the things we have to consider and have brought up to debate, not only by the Republican caucus, but by everybody, is what will happen to the funding of the two-year campuses if they are going to be funded in exactly the same way. So we know right now that if 60% is local tax funding and there are crises throughout this state in getting enough money simply to support public schools because they're based on property taxes, you can bet that what will happen is a massive underfunding of the university system. It will worsen. It will make it even more of a crisis. And the idea that we will then have cost savings is a nice way of saying we will cut the budgets of particular kinds of institutions. So I think that this is what has happened elsewhere, and if the legislators in the Republican caucus wish to study it, they might want to study the hidden effects like that as well.
Gary in Madison is with us. Hello, Gary.
Hey. Good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. My comment is simply within the state of Wisconsin, but within the United States, there are very powerful entities, not just individuals, but entities also that really don't want an educated populace. That's something that's come through in many of the discussions that have occurred on this show. And it's clear that, you know, their goal is to not have an educated populace. The sad part about that I observe is that as we get less and less of an educated populace, we have more people being let off to be slaughtered.
Gary, thank you for the call. Let me, because of our time, also add this comment to Gary's comments. It's the opposite, but I want, then you can, Professor Apple, comment on both. Dan on Facebook says, this is only being considered because tech schools have a 99% job placement record and the failed UW is like 25%. Moreover, tech schools train people. The UW indoctrinates liberals. So what do you say about that, Professor Apple?
Well, first of all, thank you for the comment, but the statistics are simply wrong. Yes, tech schools do provide people with jobs at the same time as the job market itself is being, as I mentioned, and it's there is no evidence to support another claim about this, is being massively transformed. So, yes, we need welders, but of the top 10 jobs being created in this nation, 8 of them require no secondary education whatsoever. They are de-skilled, they're underfunded, they pay less than the average annual wage now, and the average wages have either stagnated or fallen over the last 2 decades. And that occurs, by the way, even under Democratic administrations, not just Republican administrations. So there are economic forms that are going on that are behind this. This idea that the university is an indoctrinating form is also wrong. Certainly, while my positions, I think, are pretty overt, my task is not to indoctrinate. It's to get people to think. And certainly in my classes, and I think almost everyone I know, the idea is to model the kind of democratic deliberation that we want. So I look at my students as my teachers, not just me as my teacher of them. And in most university classes, there's robust debate. And that vision that students are sort of like puppets, that we unscrew the top of their head, pour in indoctrinatory forms, all kinds of liberalism, etc., and they just sit there and learn it, I don't think that has happened. It certainly hasn't happened on my watch.
Yeah. What do you say to Gary's comment that Republicans don't want an educated populace?
I think part of that is accurate, but I think what is going on is somewhat more complex than that. I think Republicans have a great deal of faith in education as well. They see certain kinds of education as dangerous, and their task historically is to change what education is for. And not all Republicans are the same. So some Republicans, for instance, would want what some Democrats would want, and that is we want people that education is simply for jobs. And we want that, and we'll do anything we can to make institutions more efficient, more effective, and we want a highly educated population, but it's about job skills. And others have a cultural and ideological agenda. So the Republicans in Texas are saying what we want to do is to return to stuff that no longer stresses the role of women, no longer stresses the role of minoritized groups, that's totally anti-immigrant, etc. And they're less concerned about job skills and more concerned about their own indoctrinatory forms. And there are other Republicans who are deeply, deeply religious who say it will only be solved if we have more biblical understandings in schools. So the Republican Party is split around many things. But by and large, they see the kind of education that's about diversity, that is a more rich education, that by and large they would see as somewhat too costly and too dangerous in a time of economic crisis. Yeah. A crisis, by the way, that many of the members of the corporate and business sector are actually participating in making worse, although many of them are deeply ethical and are trying to use their businesses and elsewhere to try and help people. So I don't want to come out with a hammer here. I think it doesn't do us any good to simply criticize people who, at least their understanding is that they're trying to make society better. I profoundly disagree with their positions, but I want to try and figure out what we can do about it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we have just a minute to go, and I apologize to the callers we were unable to get to. But what message do you have for the legislators in the work group that are discussing this merger?
Studying this merger is not simply rhetorical. If you don't study it, and not just you, it will be a disaster. That is what has happened elsewhere. There are many, many hidden effects of things that only occur in the long term. And I think a more respectful attitude of the people who actually work in the technical colleges and at the universities is required. So slow down, more voice. And let's not repeat the errors that have been made in previous policies about education, where we rush to judgment and then realize we have to back away because it hasn't worked the way we like it to.
Thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Michael Apple is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Educational Policy Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Elizabeth Deliquest for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Coming up in our next hour, we will talk about issues facing women, and we will talk about the women in the race for the 2016 presidential nomination on this week's On the Campaign Trail. That's coming up in our next hour. Tomorrow at this time, it's Tell Joy Where to Go. But we will ask you to tell me what you do with the more unusual produce items that you find in your CSA box. We'll share some tips for cooking our summer bounty coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.